God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. Welcome into Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason DeZurich. Katie Erickson's in the studio with me. How you doing, Katie?
Doing great. How are you, Jason?
Awesome, awesome. Going to look at Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 tonight. Yeah, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason DeZurich. Thanks again for being with us here. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Our parent ministry is Worldview Warriors. You can find us at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You know what, Katie? I just want to get right to it. We'll let people know about resources we have later. But Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, Katie's been in a series writing on this right now regarding the book of Hebrews, and looking forward to hearing what she's got to say tonight.
All right. Well, I'm going to start out by reading the passage that we're going to be talking about.
Perfect.
Yeah. So Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Well, to look at any Bible passage, we have to look at what comes around it. So the verse just before this passage is really a transition verse between the previous section and this section. So Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." Now, if you hadn't read the previous part of that, you may be wondering, what on earth is that talking about, right?
A little confusion there.
Yeah, right? So, you know, well, I didn't want to read, like, you know, the whole rest of Hebrews before this, so, you know. So, the previous section of Hebrews chapter 4, the author is sharing about how the people of Israel were disobedient to God. Just, you know, time and time again, they just disobeyed God over and over again, and how God was pretty much like, all right, guys, you got to obey me if you want to enter my rest. And that enter my rest is like kind of like an idea of salvation, you know, being saved by God or entering the promised land or, you know, metaphors like that.
Oh, I am so excited for tonight's program, because so many people think all you have to do is just pray a prayer and you punch your get out of hell free card and you're in. That doesn't sound like what you're going to be sharing tonight.
Well, that was the previous section. So we can go there later if you want, but I'm moving on from
Let's
there.
Let's move on.
So that was the setup for the verses we're talking about tonight.
Right.
Okay.
Meaning that's not what it's really about.
Well, not tonight anyway.
Right. Go for it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, basically in the previous section, the author of Hebrews is instructing, you know, his audience and us that our main goal as believers is to obey God with our lives. Well, you may be wondering, why should we obey God? Well, because of the description we get of his word in the verses that we are looking at tonight, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. So it has been said that a person is only as good as his or her word. And honestly, that's true of God as well. God's word in the Bible and Jesus as the living form of that word are how God has specifically revealed himself to us. Now, while there is much more to God than what we can comprehend from his word with our simple human brains, if his word is not valid, then neither is God. So remember, we are talking about how the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And so we have to believe that God's word is valid and authoritative and alive and active, because then we can believe that God is all of those things as well. Now, it's interesting that, when I read Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 to you, I read it out of the NIV English version. And that splits verse 12 into two sentences, but really in the original Greek, it's actually all one sentence. So the structure of the verse has the word of God as the subject, and then the rest of the clauses describe it. So in English, we see, for the word of God is alive and active, period. And then all this other stuff that describes it, kind of, you know, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates, all that. So we see that as two sentences in English. But in Greek, we see that, you know, the word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates to dividing, and able to judge. So all of those phrases are equally joined into one sentence. Now, that would make for a long sentence to read in English, so that's probably why the English translators split it up. But it's important to note that each of those attributes of the Word of God are portrayed equally in one grammatical piece rather than a little more separated like we see in English. So all of those things are actually like equal attributes of the Word, so to speak. Alive, active, sharper than every double-edged sword, penetrates to dividing, and able to judge. So then you may be wondering, does the Word of God here refer to the written Word of the Bible, or the person of Jesus?
You share that one more time.
Does the Word of God here refer to the written Word of the Bible, or the person of Jesus, as in John 1? Now you may be thinking, what? Because generally, we think of when we see Word of God, we think, oh yeah, you know, the written Word of the Bible, right? Well, in John 1, in the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, you know, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, the Bible is not God.
He was with God in the beginning.
He was. Through him, all things were made.
Without him, nothing has been made that has been made.
Uh-huh. The best part is I even could start telling you that part in the Greek because I've studied it so many times.
It's so awesome. In the beginning was Jesus.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Hmm. So Jesus is the Word of God, and the Bible is the Word of God. So when we look at this passage in Hebrews 4, which are we talking about? That's a good question.
I'm guessing it's yes, but I don't know.
Yes. Does it refer to the written word or the person of Jesus? Yes. Yes, it does. So some scholars believe that this phrase in this context means anything that God has spoken, which would include the Bible and the words spoken by Jesus. So both. Others believe that it refers to the person of Jesus also, not just the words that were actually spoken. However, honestly, the specific distinction is not very important, as the whole Bible points to the person and work of Jesus. So they're essentially one and the same. Because yes, the Bible is a written book, and Jesus is God and also a person, but the whole Bible points to the work of Jesus. You know, Old Testament, New Testament, everything points to the work of Jesus. So it doesn't really matter a whole lot which one we're talking about, because it kind of applies to both.
Right. And, well, I could go on a rabbit trail, but I'm not going to tonight.
You could. It's all right. Well, maybe. I don't know. Where's this rabbit trail going?
So Genesis 1, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Therefore, there was morning and evening, the first day."
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, and God said, so friends, if you're not getting it yet, your words are so powerful because you are made in the image of God. Your words have power. They have power that could encourage someone or really discourage them. And I'm not saying you're God. Do not hear that. You are not God. I am not God. Katie is not God.
Nope.
Almighty God is God, but we are made in his image. Now, that, like I said, is a little rabbit trail, but the truth of the matter is when people say, well, I just don't know if God created. Okay, he created with his mouth. The only thing he created with, well, his hands would be, whatever those look like, I have no clue, would be humankind. Everything else he spoke into existence. Go read it in Genesis 1. It is amazing. And then we find out, oh, yeah, in John 1, that Jesus was there.
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
Right. And then, rabbit trail number two. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. somebody shared with me, I don't know if it's you, Katie, or not, but that they were really struggling with putting James in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Martin Luther believed that the book of James should not be a part of the Bible. Yeah. So that may have been me that told you that.
Yes. And a lot of that had to do with, I don't even think it mentions Christ once.
And
I think that's the reason.
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why, is because it doesn't actually like share the gospel message in the book of James.
What it shares, though, is living out God in his ways. That's what the whole thing is about. And so, friends, I just encourage you to dig into the book of James if you haven't yet.
And if you'd like an easy, convenient way to do that, our former blog writer Logan Ames actually wrote a series on the book of James.
I forgot all about it.
I forget how many years ago. I know it's been a little while, but you can totally look it up at worldviewwarriors.org. Go to the blog site, and there should be a label over on the side that says James. And you should be able to find all of Logan's posts that go through the entire...
That's quicker than what I was going to say. I was going to say go to the search bar and type in James.
Well, you could too, but you're probably going to find a lot.
Other James.
And you're going to find like every time we've quoted James and you know all of that. So
Looking for a needle in the haystack.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, so there are actually 36 blog posts on the book of James that you can find on our Worldly Warriors
blog. How do
you
find that stuff so quick? You're amazing.
It's what I do.
Friends, again, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Desirek, your host. For the program, we thank you for being with us here, Katie. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get right back into the book of Hebrews here, if that's all right.
Sounds great.
Good. And so, friends, we've got a few fast casts we want to share with you. But again, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Desirek.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to do a self-examination of your own life and answer some of these questions that I ask you today. Friends, if your child gets pregnant out of wedlock, who or what do you put your hope in? Could it be that you are putting your hope in something other than God Almighty? And if a family member ends up getting cancer or COVID, who or what do you ultimately put your hope in? And if someone you love loses their job, who or what do you put your faith, hope, and trust in? Dig more in this idea at our blog post titled, What Is Your Hope In?
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Desirek.
Have you ever been so busy that you don't know which way is up or down? Have you ever been so busy for the kingdom of God that you are actually not doing much earthly good? You're busy running the church or school activities or trying to do your homework in order to please your teachers and family with good grades. Or maybe you're just busy trying to get into that perfect college or busy with your job. Now, don't get me wrong. Being busy isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can, however, divert our focus away from God and his desires for your life. Dig more into this. Find my blog post, which is titled, God's Will or My Dream.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, my name is Jason Desirek, your host for the program. Katie, we're going to keep going down the path of Hebrews 4 tonight.
And yes. Well, we're going to stick around in 4, 12, and 13. We're not going to go any farther down the path because there's a lot we can talk about in just these two verses.
All right. Again, friends, you can find Katie's writings every Monday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern Time at worldviewwarriors.org, and then click the blog tab. It'll take you right there. Find that no problem. Okay? So, worldviewwarriors.org.
All right. So, Hebrews 4, 12, and 13. I'm going to read it again. You're going to be sick of hearing it, I bet. But you know what? It's good. So, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So the idea of the word being alive and active means that the revealed word of God is actually doing things, not just passively sitting there in a book gathering dust. if you have ever had the experience where you reread a passage of the Bible, you know, maybe you've read it dozens of times before and it almost feels like you've never read it before. You get some amazing new insight or life application from it. That is the dynamic, living, alive, and active essence of God's Word. When we give it the opportunity to work in our lives, to transform us, and to help mature us as believers, it will definitely do so. So what specifically does the word do? Well, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. Now, that word sharper in the original Greek literally means more cutting, which I think is fun. So the God's word is literally more cutting than a double-edged sword, and it penetrates to our inmost being. The word of God is unique. Nothing else can do what it does. Now, the author is not referring to the sword as dividing or splitting our body apart by saying even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Rather, that refers to it, the word of God being able to reach deep inside of us where nothing else can. We have absolutely no secrets from God, and there is nothing that we can keep to ourselves. His word will be able to reach there, no matter what we think we're hiding from God or not. His word reaches there. Our whole person is open to God, and there is nothing we can do to prevent that. So we see that the word of God also judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Again, we see the word can fully see inside us, even to our very intentions, our thoughts and our attitudes, not just our words and our deeds. No one can fully discern our thoughts and attitudes except God. And not only does God know them, but his word judges them. We can't keep any secrets from God. Everything we think and even our very attitudes are scrutinized by God. So verse 13 echoes the same idea, but with a little bit different metaphor. Rather than a double-edged sword digging into the core of our very being, we see that it is impossible to hide anything from God. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him. There is nothing in all of creation that can ever hide from God's knowledge and from God's presence. Even our thoughts and our attitudes cannot hide from him. They will be exposed to him. So the last phrase of this verse is translated in the NIV as, before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so this, you know, of course, makes sense in context, it's a good translation, but it causes us to miss that the final Greek words in this verse are halagos, which means the word, by the way. This is the same phrase used at the start of the verse. So the word, literally halagos in the Greek, the word essentially bookends these two verses. It appears at the start of this passage and again at the end. And that's literally how it is in the original Greek that we have. We don't see that in English, but it really kind of frames this of how much these two verses are all about the word of God. You know, we see it at the start, we see it at the end. So is the word of God alive and active in your life? We know that it will be alive and active no matter what our thoughts or opinions of it are, because we do not control the word. Just because somebody doesn't believe in God and maybe doesn't follow his word or even believe it should have authority over their life, it still is alive and active. Our opinions of the Bible or even of Jesus do not change the fact that Jesus is God. He is the Word of God, and we have God's Word revealed to us in this book of the Bible. So while we can't control that, we do control our attitudes and the thoughts of our hearts. Are those aligning with the alive and active Word of God? Or are we disobeying God, even with our innermost beings, our thoughts and our attitudes? So how does it make you feel then that the word of God penetrates to your inmost being and that even your thoughts and attitudes are exposed to God? if we recognize the evil nature of our ways as fallen humans, then that will likely make us feel pretty uncomfortable and anxious, knowing that the perfect God of the universe knows every little detail about us. But that is why Jesus is so important. The sacrificial death of Jesus and his resurrection have covered all of our sinful thoughts and attitudes when we put our faith in him. What was uncovered and exposed to God has now been covered by the blood of Jesus, so we don't have to worry. As a follower of Jesus Christ, seeing the Word of God in this way is a comfort and not a threat. If you feel uncomfortable about the Word of God, knowing and judging every little detail about your life, it's time to put your faith, hope, and trust fully in Jesus Christ today.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks for sharing that. Again, you can find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie, I'm going to turn it back over to you if you don't mind just quickly sharing about this new resource we have. And we'll talk about that and then maybe end with a couple fast casts here.
Sounds like a plan. So this new resource, it was just released on August 23rd of 2021, so not very long ago. It is called The God of the Psalms. It is a study on the attributes, character, and actions of God in the Psalms, and it was written by C.A. Wolcott, our blogger Charlie Wolcott. And so the description of this, you know, who is God? Well, we can never fully know God's character. But the book of Psalms provides us with a rich and poetic description of who God is. This book covers 90 different attributes, actions, and character traits of God that are found in the Psalms, with explanations of how these help us know God in our lives today. So this book has 90 different attributes of God. Each of them go with a verse from the book of Psalms where we see that attribute. And for each one of them, Charlie gives some kind of example and explanation of this verse and how we can apply this attribute of God in our lives today, how we can know God more through this, or you know, what we can do in our Christian faith with this. And there's 90 of them. So this would be a great devotional for about 3 months. And each one of these, it's only 2 pages long. So they're all pretty quick, easy reads, but also there is a lot of good content in there that, you can just get to know who God is, his character, his attributes, and his actions through the book of Psalms. So you can go to worldviewwarriors.org and check out this resource. Again, it's called The God of the Psalms by C.A. Wolcott. It is currently available in both paperback and Kindle format. At worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Katie, for doing all that. And thank you so much for sharing not just about this new resource, but about Charlie's brand new book. Again, it's just been released August 23rd of 2021. And we got more new resources coming out. Do we have one more this year yet? Or we're not
I hope
yet?
So. I'm still finishing writing it.
Okay. Okay.
So stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, friends, I just want to encourage you to be praying for the ministry. As most of you know, the whole of society seems to have just decided to get into an airplane and it's on fire. It's amazing. So at Worldly Warriors, we're just praying through what is God calling us to do in and through all of that. And so we would just ask that you'd be praying for us to have God's wisdom, God's leading, and we do what he wants us to do. And so, again, you can find us at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And you can learn more about the ministry there. And we'd love for you to get a part of what's happening there with the ministry. Again, you can find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host. And, we've got some Fastcasts here, so we'll see you next time.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Have you ever been so busy that you don't know which way is up or down? Have you ever been so busy for the kingdom of God that you are actually not doing much earthly good? You're busy running church or school activities or trying to do your homework in order to please your teachers and family with good grades. Or maybe you're just busy trying to get into that perfect college or busy with your job. Now, don't get me wrong. Being busy isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can, however, divert our focus away from God and His desires for your life. To dig more into this, find my blog post, which is titled, God's Will or My Dream.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
If you know that you have heard from God correctly, when the naysayers come and tell you ridiculous things like, if it was God's will, it wouldn't be this hard. If you know you've heard from God correctly, try harder. Let your actions speak louder than their negative and uninspiring words. Grow, mature, and become complete, not lacking anything. Again, when you know the direction that God has called you, obey Him. And ignore all the noise around you. Ignore it. Friends, this is one reason why we need to be in the Word of God, so we know His truth and obey. Babe Ruth said, it's hard to be a person who never gives up.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
In Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.